California.
Hi.
How's it going over there in California?
Oh, it's good. You know, it's back to being cold and rainy. What's up with that? But it's fine. We're doing good. We're just freaking getting along, man. Every day.
Yeah, we were sort of like in the middle of like monsoon season, which I'll actually talk more about as we go along. Like, it was rainy for like many days in a row. But that said, at one point the weather forecast was like, it's going to rain all this week too. And yesterday was beautiful and today seems pretty nice. So I don't know. We're kind of... Weather people don't know. I mean, sometimes I feel bad because we're like, weather people are stupid, but like, you know, they're doing their best.
But things change, you know, like if the wind decides to go another way, then you get a whole new weather system.
Yeah, exactly. Happening. Especially, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like for those of us that live near-ish bodies of water, like, you know, you're close enough to an ocean and I'm close enough to an ocean that like things do change rapidly.
True. Yeah. We always, whenever I listen to the news, they're like, this morning we've got a thick marine layer. And I'm like, ooh, sexy.
Sounds fun. I'll take it. I'll take those odds. Anything fun going on in your week? How's your week been?
Well, I feel like I finally kicked that friggin' cold, man. That was good. Rough. And I, like, yeah, it's just, I don't like being sick. I don't think anybody does, obviously, but it was really rough for me. I didn't like it. So I am out of that now. I feel better. I feel like I'm like in my, like, I almost forgot to pick my kids up one day. I was late for so many things because my brain, I had a sickness of the brain as well. But otherwise, you know, we did good. My daughter had her like fourth volleyball game that I'm coaching and they lost again. They haven't won one. But we do have really, really new players, you know? And so I was really like kind of feeling bad about my coaching ability. But the truth is, I just have to keep showing them the basics of practice. You know, we have practice again this week. And so I know it sounds crazy, but like I really kind of tortured myself over it. I'm like, they should be getting better because honestly, they should. But I'm like, how do I get through to these kids? Like, I have to figure it out. I'm working on it, but that's kind of the week.
We need like a training montage now.
Bum, 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 bum.
You're like, and spike it. Yeah. I said spike the ball. Like,
I know. Just, you know. 10 push-ups. And I have a whip.
And like little like 9-year-olds.
Chasing them with whips. I'm just kidding. No, they're so cute. They're so stinking sweet and earnest. And like, you know, I have a few athletic kids on the team, like naturally athletic. But, you know, there's kids who aren't, and that's okay. You could still learn how to play the sport and, like, develop your muscles and grow. But it's a farther way to... Yeah, our last game was intense because there was a guy, like a parent, who I think... He was so fucking loud. Excuse my language. I wanted to turn around and be like, shut the fuck up. Like, these are kids... Like, he was screaming, and this is why people get really intense in sports, or, you know, or this is why people get kicked out, parents getting kicked out. Like, this person was not on our team. Our team is, like, very chill, like our parents. But this guy, and a lot of them were dicks, and I guess my daughter said that one of the kids, there was a little boy on the other side, and she was kind of making a funny face. Who knows what face she was making? She was making a face, and he was like, why are you smiling? You guys are losers. And I was like, oh, that mother. Oh, fuck. Like, I was ready to bounce and beat. And then I felt bad because then as soon as they were done, they're like, we haven't won one game. And then now their spirits are getting a little bit lower. But I'm like, this is, you guys are learning. I'm also like, why don't you just try to listen to what I say, see what I'm doing, I'm showing you, and do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough on both sides because, like, first of all, that little kid learned to call someone a loser.
I'm
you know
pretty
what I
sure
mean?
His like, dad was, it was his dad, the one that was yelling.
Being a loud one.
I think so. Yeah. So apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
And then on the other hand, like, you know, there's a teaching, obviously you feel bad when you don't win, but like the teaching of like, well, we're also just here. It's a game. Like, we are playing a game. Like, games are fun and games should be fun whether you win them or not. Of course they're more fun when you win them. I mean, this is me talking, and of course when I lose things I get angry, but you know, like, if you can, I don't know, try to adjust the mindset of you know, winning and losing. I don't know, it's tough, and it's tough with little kids. Like, little kids take things personally.
They do. And you know, different kids are more sensitive, and I know my little lady is pretty sensitive, and that's why it's funny, like, I immediately want to ruin someone's life when they hurt her feelings. But I'm not gonna, because I'm a good mom and I can sit back and be like comfortable in her uncomfort and let her learn her lesson and just be like, kids are dicks, man. I might have said that. I said jerks. I didn't say dicks. But I was like, you know, some people are just jerks and you have to just let her. Actually, that was the lesson. Playing a sport is pretty awesome for many reasons. But one thing is you have to quickly get over whatever it is. Like if you lose, if you didn't make that point, okay, I acknowledge, get on. Your kid's being a dick to you, okay, fine. But if you let it bother you, then you're not going to play good or play very well, and you're not going to have fun. And that is right. My point right there.
Are the teams mixed?
Yeah.
They are, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that totally makes sense, but I just wasn't sure.
Yeah, we have a dude on our team, and a lot of teams have dudes. I did have to also give them a conversation. I was like, does anyone know the definition of hustle? Hustle? Does anyone? They're like, no. I looked at Amelia. I'm like, you know what it is because we've talked about it. Yeah, so I had to be like, I need you to try. And then a parent came up to me after the game this time. She's like, I noticed that the other team, they were like in a different position. They were like closer to the net and when they're serving. So maybe if we do that, you know, it's like giving advice. And I was like, oh, you silly, silly, dumb fool. The reason they do that is because our serves are very weak. And that's why they came up. And the other team's serves are not weak. So I had them in the position they could be in. Also, I just need the kids to try and take a step towards the ball. I don't know what's wrong. I'm learning too. I'm learning how to motivate and like get kids to really listen. But again, it takes physical skill, which is different than like mentally getting something. And some kids just don't get that as quickly as others. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, whatever. I was never the one that wanted to step up and hit the ball.
You're like, ah, no.
Yeah, I have like such visceral memories of, I think for me, it was more like baseball, like being out in the field and being like, please don't come my way. Please don't come my way. Yeah. Please don't come my way.
Those are hard balls, too. If you get hit by a baseball, that hurts like a lot more than a volleyball.
Yeah, that's funny. It actually like also has such a memory of being in front of my grandparents' house. And what cousin was it? I think it must have been a cousin's husband. Oh, I feel bad that I can't think of who it was, but it was on Billy's side of the family, and I was never like, we just weren't really a sporty family, and we were like, playing catch, basically like throwing the ball back and forth, and we got further and further and further and further, and we were so far away, and I was actually pretty good, and then just the one time that it came, it just went right over the mid and hit me right above my nose.
Yeah,
and that
hurts.
Was the end of. Oh man,
yeah. I partly think that's why my daughter doesn't love softball, because she got hit once by a pitcher, and they were throwing it very. A softball pitch is friggin' fast. I just don't think she wants. She's like, no, that doesn't sound like something I want to do ever again.
yeah.
But
My week's been kind of normal. I mean, I saw the Thanksgiving play,
and
I just there's a thing about plays. I know that it's not always easy to stick the landing, but it was kind of one of those plays that I really, really enjoyed, and then it just didn't really have an end. It was kind of like, I don't know, like I wanted it to like make its thesis or something, and it just didn't really lead anywhere. And once again, I enjoyed it, and really great performances. And of course, I mean, Katie Finneran, we've talked about, I love her so much. And Darcy Carden was great. You know, I mean, she just has, you know, we talk about the thing, like she just has the thing. Yeah. Like you just want to like watch her when she's on stage. Super, super, you know, the Tony nominations came out today and they didn't get anything for that particular play, but I'm still glad that I saw it. And then, so Sunday, it was Sunday. I was supposed to work a double. And it was so rainy. It was just rainy all day.
Oh.
But I still, like, between shifts was like, well, I'm going to go. Like, I need to run a couple of errands, and I'll just kind of go for a walk. And I just got so wet. Like, it was so rainy out. And I just wasn't really thinking about it. Like, I was, like, from my knees down, I was just soaked. And then as I was headed back to work, I got the message of, like, hey, if you want the night off, we don't, you know, you can go ahead and take it. And I was like, oh, that's great. I'll go ahead and head home.
Yeah.
Which then I was like, I'm so glad I just walked around in the rain for an hour wasting time when I'm not even working tonight. But then I took the train home. And, you know, all this, you know, like, your old train station, like, it's deep. Like, there's a lot of stairs to get out of it.
It's
and
so
I was
deep.
So, it felt like I was wearing ankle weights.
Oh no.
Like trying to walk up the stairs, because like my shoes were just full of water, and like my socks were soaked and my pants were soaked. Yeah, it was pretty intense. And then, yeah, I guess it's been a lot of, because then I had Monday off, and I will say, oh, I went and I bought Sweeney Todd tickets. I went ahead and.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm very excited. I spent some money, but yeah. It's fine. It's an important show to me, and I'm excited to see it. And it's funny that the way that I get tickets is that I tend to look online, but I don't want to pay the online fee. Mm. So I'll kind of like look and be like, oh, and then I'll go to the box and be like, hey, I don't know what you have available, even though I totally do.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about like this day and like maybe in this price range, and then I got the ticket that without paying the fee.
Good.
And then I went for a bit of a walk after. I walked down to the Lower East Side, which, you know, was never really my neighborhood. I didn't ever really hang out there a whole lot, but there's like allergen-free bakery that's down there, yeah. That I was like, I'm gonna give myself a treat and get some stuff, and kind of walked around. And it's so strange being down there, because, and I know that any city is like this, and I've said this before, that New Yorkers like to act like everything only ever happens in New York,
yeah.
But it's so interesting to be in that neighborhood and walk around and be like, I don't think I've ever, like, there were huge buildings that I've never seen before, and yeah. Like historic buildings that I was like, have I never walked buy this?
That's wild.
Before, I don't know. You used to work down there, so I feel like maybe, yeah, you knew the area a little bit better than I used to.
I used to make you always go to that restaurant, Angelica's Kitchen, with me, which is like a vegan. It was
best.
So good. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore.
It's gone.
But that's kind of like on the way. And then we go to Angelica's Kitchen, and then we'd walk up to that bakery. I mean, I've been up and around that, because we used to live down there ish, and I worked down there at a couple locations, actually. I worked at the Tory Burch store. I worked at, which was a little bit up, but I worked at Tom and Jerry's Bar, and I worked at Mercadito, which was on Avenue B. God, I miss Mercadito. Great restaurant.
Me too.
Doesn't exist anymore, but.
Doesn't exist. Nothing gold can stay.
Nothing gold can stay.
But anyways, it was fun. And, you know, I did get a little, you know, I had a moment of melancholy walking by certain places that I'd visited with my parents, and, you know, yeah, not to get back to the subject every week, but I definitely had like a moment of like, well, you know, it's funny the little things that stick out. Like, I was walking around, oh, and this is another area that we used to go to, sort of like the NYU area, but was it C or Spice? There were like those Thai restaurants that we used to
see.
And I had gone to one of them with my parents once, and then there was a place across the street. My mom was like, I think that this is the restaurant that was on the Today Show a few days ago or something like that. And sort of her like going in and like asking a busboy, and I was like, Mom, the busboy's not going to know if this was the restaurant. But it's funny, those little moments that come and remind you, and yeah, you know, I've talked about this on here before, that trying to like really be happy for the memories and not sad that there won't be anymore. But I got really sad yesterday. I definitely, yeah, had like a definite moment of like just really feeling the loss.
Mm.
And, you know, once again, not to go to the sad place, but because it was mostly a good day, and just kind of like one of those New York random days of sort of wandering around and being like, you know, and once again, to act like this is just a New York thing, but I sometimes walking around New York, it feels like walking through different lives that I've led, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like walking by and being like, oh, that was the restaurant when I was dating someone. And look, this was the store that I went to when I was in a play. And like, it's just all those different lives that you've lived. And it's such an intense memory lane sometimes walking the streets of this large city. You know, I always want to go out to like the neighborhoods that you used to live in. I feel like when you come visit, we should make a point to like walk
around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
awesome.
Like, we can't possibly go to every Mexican restaurant, but I feel like whenever you would be in a new neighborhood, we'd be like, yeah,
we can try.
We'd be like, all right, what's the new restaurant? What's our new spot here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was basically it. I am going to go. Oh, another fun thing that I'm going to go to Brandy's tonight. I went there with you the first time that I ever
went. I know. I just saw a picture of our friend Courtney. She had been in New York and she went to Brandy's. And she took her husband for the first time, and he's like, I can't believe you haven't taken me here. Oh my God, we used to have so much fun. That's where Bridget Everett used to work, right?
Was she there? I honestly don't know. I mostly go because Annabelle and I have a mutual friend, John, who works there. He works there and he works at like Don't Tell Mamas, so he kind of does them
ask
both.
Ask John if Bridget used to work there. I think she did. But
all right,
she's super fun. And it's really fun. Did you get up and sing? Or are you going to? You're doing that tonight.
I'm not going to get up and sing.
Get up and sing!
I am a viewer. But you know what? I'm not going to get up and sing, but I should. I've been thinking a lot about singing again.
Ooh, I have lots of fun thoughts that I'm going to share with you soon. But yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have like a dig in, but I thought that I would do my thing that I do sometimes, which is just sort of meandering around things that I'm kind of sort of enjoying. And
do
or...
it. Meander.
Because I did finish The Fall, you know, and I'm not, I don't think that, you didn't watch any of that, right? That's not your thing. It's very,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's upsetting. And I will say particularly, I won't spoil anything, but I mean, and I'm spoil it. It came out in 2016. So, you know, it's been a bit, but the last season is such a slow burn that I definitely watched being like, is anything ever going to happen? And then, oh boy, the last episode, all the things happen. It was very intense and, you know, upsetting. But I'm glad that I finished it. I am also watching, I'm watching two very odd shows that, once again, I'm not necessarily suggesting, but the first one is Dead Ringers. It's on Prime and it's Rachel Weisz. It's based on I remember the film from, like, I want to say the 80s, which is based on a book, and it's about twins who are doctors, and it's once again, I'll keep you posted on my journey. Rachel Weisz is amazing. I mean, she's incredible in it, and she plays these twin sisters who have very different personalities and sometimes swap places. So she's sometimes playing one, playing the other one, and it's definitely interesting. I will say, like, 8 minutes into the first episode is like a childbirth mashup of like every different form of a child being born, and it's very graphic. And I was ooh, okay, lots going on here. But interesting, very, very odd. The other one, and this is probably the close that I'm going to come to like saying maybe you should check this out, but I with a bit of a caveat. Have you seen anything about this Mrs. Davis show that's on Peacock now?
It's not the one with the nun, is it?
It is, yeah. So that's it.
Okay, I haven't seen it, but I saw the I saw the trailer. I'm not quite. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. Is it the girl from the wrestling movie, the wrestling show?
Yes, it's the woman from Glow.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand when I watched the trailer. I was confused, I'll be honest. So I was like, I'm maybe gonna get there. I like her a lot. Like, I really loved her in Glow.
She's fantastic. It's Betty Gilpin. And it's funny because this is, once again, my journey with her is that begins with my thing I've talked about where I see someone in a role and I think that's who they are. Because the first thing that I ever saw her in was Nurse Jackie with Edie Falco. And she plays kind of like, and I was like, oh, you're kind of, I'm not a fan. You're kind of annoying. And then she had a stint on that show Elementary, the modern day Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
TV show that was on a few years ago. And she was so, like, she was an actress. And I was like, oh, you're an actress. I need to calm down. Why do I always do this? And then, yeah, she was so good on Glow. And I honestly, like, part of me, I always think, like, I need your husband to have a conversation with someone at Netflix. Because it makes me so sad that that last season of Glow never happened. That they just sort of were like, never mind, we're not going to do a fourth season. And it's like, what are you?
It's crazy.
What? Huh? So good. It's yeah, good. But it's her. And she's so... This is not a ringing endorsement. Once again, like, I literally, the first episode was like, I don't understand anything that's happening. Like, it's ostensibly about a nun who, in an attempt to destroy, like, Alexis, you know, like, Mrs. Davis is basically artificial intelligence.
Like a smart
has to find the Holy Grail and destroy. Like, it's so many things. And then, so then I watched the second episode and I was like, okay, I think I understood like half of what just happened. And then as you go along, it does make more sense. I will say as of episode four, I think it was four, was it four or five? Like, there are so many satisfying, like, oh, that's what that was moments. And like, oh, okay. Like, it does start to, like, make a lot more sense as you go along with it. It's really, it's very interesting. You know, it's partly the guy that did, like, Lost and Watchmen.
Okay, David, so it's a David big, Lindelof. Big budget.
Correct. And it, you know, I have such mixed feelings on all of these, like, big streaming shows. The ones that are trying, like, on Peacock and that kind of thing to kind of, like, break out. Because I don't know how many people are watching them. Like, I don't know how accessible they are. But I guess on the other hand, like, if this is the way that we're going to throw some money at shows and make kind of, like, bigger, loftier productions. Because it is kind of, like, globe hopping. It is a little more an expansive universe. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's interesting. I'll, you know, once again, another one that keep I'll kind of keep you loop. Posted on. Yeah. It's also Jake McDormand plays like the I think he's very nice to look at. That's all.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it's a fun cast. I'm enjoying, and we'll see how it all comes out. Oh, and the woman from Evil that I like so much, Katja Ebers, I think I've talked about her before.
Oh yeah.
Like she comes into it partway through and has a really interesting role. It's just an interesting, it's a fun cast. Oh, the dude, I'm not gonna say his name right. Tom Lashia? That's totally wrong. He was in Game of Thrones. You would recognize him if you saw him.
Yes.
Very like interesting, charismatic, fun. So it's a fun cast. I will also say that I kind of stumbled upon last night, and I'd wanted to watch this for a while. There's a documentary on Prime, called Broadway Rising.
Ooh.
And it sort of tracks like Broadway shutting down at the start of the pandemic, and then tracks certain people's stories during it and kind of like what they did during those 18 months.
Mm.
And then of course the best part is the end, when everything comes back to life and like the memories of like Broadway coming back was really fun to watch. I will say, like, it's a bunch of people in the theater, so everyone's very dramatic. Like, there are moments that I'm like, I need everyone to calm down. But there are also some really, really moving and touching stories. So that's kind of, you know, like I said, I don't really have a thing, but those are some things that have kind of been entertaining me in the last week or so.
Yeah.
I don't know. And do you have anything more specific than I do? Are you enjoying anything right now?
I have some specific-ish. I'm doing Miss Maisel, Marvelous Miss Maisel, and I think we're caught up, which I'm enjoying it, the journey. I want to know what the hell's happening. Like, something's going to have to happen at this point.
For sure. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I really like the framing device. I like, you know, because I had really hoped that we would get a season of post-success. Like, the show has kind of all been about her, like, struggle. And I was kind of like, it'd be nice to have a season where she's doing well. But I think what they're doing instead is probably smarter than that. That it's still the struggle, but we know that in the future, something will have happened.
Yeah, it's fun because we're following, well, maybe not following, but we're anchoring some of the episodes with the hurt children as adults. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah. And I'm going to trust it, but like, you know, there's the idea that she and Susie aren't friends in the future, which makes me kind of sad. So I'm hoping something comes of that.
I know. But you know, Susie's done some dirty stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway,
true.
So yeah, I'm enjoying that. I saw one of my friends' daughters, who is so cute. They adopted a child, and this baby is just like delightful and delicious, and I love babies, so that made me really happy this week. And so the thing that I'm digging this week really is a series of things I've seen. Either it's all has the same theme about art. So there was a post, this guy Michael Warburton, I don't know, on the internet, on Instagram, wrote, in 2006, a high school English teacher asked students to write a famous author and ask for advice. So they did that. This is, I believe, in New York. And Kurt Vonnegut was the only author to respond, and his reply was crazy. So I want to read this. So what he said was, "Dear Xavier High School and all the people, I thank you for your friendly letters. You sure know how to cheer up a really old geezer, 84, in his sunset years. I don't make public appearances anymore because I now resemble nothing so much as an iguana. What I had to say to you, moreover, would not take long. To wit, practice any art, music, singing, dancing, acting, drawing, painting, sculpting, poetry, fiction, essays, reportage, no matter how well or badly, not to get money and fame, but to experience becoming, to find out what's inside you, to make your soul grow. Seriously, exclamation point, he says. I mean, starting right now, do art and do it for the rest of your lives. Draw a funny or nice picture of Miss Lockwood, who's the teacher, and give it to her. Dance home after school and sing in the shower and on. Make a face in your mashed potatoes. Pretend you're Count Dracula. Here's an assignment for tonight. And I hope Miss Lockwood will flunk you if you don't do it. Write a 6-line poem about anything, but rhymed. No fair tennis without a net. Make it as good as you possibly can, but don't tell anybody what you're doing. Don't show it or recite it to anybody, not even your girlfriend or parents or whatever, or Miss Lockwood, okay? Tear it up into tweeny-weeny pieces and discard them into widely separated trash receptacles. You will find that you have already been gloriously rewarded for your poem. You have experienced becoming, learned a lot more about what's inside you, and you have made your soul grow. God bless you all. So I love that. And then I happened upon a book that I'm really excited to read. A friend had posted this page out of, you know, Rick Rubin. He's the music producer. Like, I'm pretty he produced a bunch of, like, anyways, anybody famous, Rick Rubin's the guy. And he wrote a book called The Creative Act, A Way of Being, which is kind of crazy because this all has something to do with it. But I just want to read this page real quick and then I want to hear your thoughts. The ability to look deeply is the root of creativity, to see past the ordinary and mundane and get to what might otherwise be invisible. Living life as an artist is a practice. You are either engaging in the practice or you're not. It makes no sense to say you're not good at it. It's like saying I'm not good at being a monk. You're either living as a monk or you're not. We tend to think of the artist's work as the output. The real work of the artist is a way of being in the world. And that's it. Well, I feel like they kind of had something to do with each other. I just really, I love that because I've been feeling a little bit like, what am I friggin' doing? Like, you know, am I artistically fulfilled right now? What am I doing? So it gave me a little hope and happiness.
Yeah. No, I like both of those. I think that there is, I mean, there is definitely something to be said for like, I am at my happiest when I'm being creative.
Yeah, me too.
All that it takes to be creative is to do something creative. You know what I mean? Like, I tend to get in my head about like, well, I'm not ready to do this, or I'm not ready for that thing to happen, or that's not fully formed. And that's never the point. Like, it always comes down to like, don't wait until you're ready. Like, just sit down and create something. Yeah. Even if it's, you know, I think about Tori Amos talking about that, how she writes a song every day. And whoever she was saying that to was like, well, that's a lot of songs. She was like, well, most of them are crap, but
yeah.
it's just the process of doing it that like, I write something every day.
Yeah.
The best advice that I didn't take when I was like 21 or 22 years old, my friend Rich, who lives in Atlanta and is a writer. And he was like, just write every day, write every day. Sit down and write something. It doesn't matter what it is. Write something every day. And I was like, that's a great advice. I'm not going to take it.
Yeah.
You know, you can still do it. But that's the thing though. Like, you know, start today. Like, yeah, I say it.
I find creativity in cooking, in like creating meals and food and different things like, you know, drinks and stuff like that. And also being with the kids, I do feel like it definitely lends itself. Like, I make up songs all the time for them. Those little ungrateful bastards. No. But I do feel like it is a joy that I sometimes have reserved for the output, you know? And I want to reserve it for myself. Screw it. Like, get in there. Like, if nobody's... You know what I did this morning? After the kids were at school, I had like an hour before I had to be at the library for my job. And I decided my body felt really stiff. And so I turned on some dance music. There's a song called Beggin' and also a song called On and On. Anyways, I'm telling you, it's like so fun. And I just danced. I felt like Britney Spears on her crazy wacko Instagram post where she's like just dancing. But I swear to God, I was just doing that. I was like, and I was laughing because I was like, I kept thinking, oh my God, this is what Britney Spears does. And she's cuckoo, but maybe she's got something, you know?
I think that she's got something. I think that, you know, and this harkens back to what we were just talking about earlier with my singing. You know, a friend of mine who lives in Germany now sent me this really, 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 really beautiful post about like the memory of hearing me sing for the first time when I was 15 years old and how she's been a fan for 30 years. And I think back on things that I've done that I'm proud of, and I this isn't meant to be like melancholy or like, well, it's me at all. But like the difference is that I was just doing things, you know, like the act of doing that can feel so scary and
judging
so
yourself
big.
Like you do.
Right.
Now.
I wasn't worried. I was just like, well, no, this is what I do. This is how I sound. And yeah.
Let your freak flag fly, Mike.
Yeah.
Let it fly.
Do the thing. Do the
do
thing.
Do the thing. Exactly. Yeah. Can I tell you what I could do without?
Yes, please do.
So I'm looking for a swimsuit and the kids are always with me, right? And so you have to try them on, right? Like my body's shifted. I got things are in different places. Like my nipples on my butt. Now, no, I'm kidding. But this is specifically about nipples. So I have them both like they're drinking boba and sitting on the little bench and I'm trying on clothes. And they see me naked. We are more of a naked household. It just is what it is. I don't know. Anyways, I'm trying on the tops and my son goes, Mom, why are your nipples like that? And I was like what? And he pulled his up and he shows me his tiny little nipple. And he's like, because mine are like this. And then he's like, but yours are like that. And they're super pink and and big. And I was like, I was like, you know, I mean, I explained to him, I fed them. That's part of it. Like, I used to have tinier nipples, but now they're like full on women's, you know, nipples. I still think they're cute. I feel good about them, whatever. But it was just a crack. It cracked me up. And I'm just like, you know, obviously I don't want my kids to be like, ew, at my body, but whatever, screw them. I was like, I gave you life. When they ask those kind of questions, I want to make sure that they know that I love myself, whether or not I actually do, you know, whether or not I'm like, the other day I wore a two-piece at the pool because I was like, screw it, I'm going to wear this two-piece because my belly needs some sun, goddammit. And the whole time, not when my son wasn't swimming, he just was touching my stomach. I'm like, why are you touching my stomach? It's like that's my most insecure area in my body for me. It just is, you know, whatever. So I'm always kind of like trying to hide it or whatever. And he just loved it. He was just like, maybe he never sees it. He's just like holding on to my stomach. It was a little uncomfortable, but I tried to just go with the flow and love myself. But yeah. Anyways, body's changing. Could do without that, but still want to love myself.
You should have gone, you ruined it. This is because of you.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, that is the truth. More so Amelia, because he didn't really breastfeed it very well much. But she, good Lord, she could have been 5 years old and we still could have been doing it. She loved it so much. I had to wean that. Was hard.
Yeah. Well, mine, I think I mostly sound normal and it never got super bad, but I did get a sinus infection over the weekend, which I get twice. It's funny that at this point I'm like, I literally went to bed on Thursday and was like, oh, I'm going to wake up with a sinus infection. I can like feel it happening. I'm like the groundhog. Like, you know, the seasons are changing because Mike gets a little raspy. Like, I just get a sinus infection every fall and every spring, like as the seasons are changing.
Crazy.
And so then I'm just like in the post drip phase now. That's like mostly just disgusting, but I feel mostly fine. The thing that I could do without, and I can do without this, is just a moment that I had Sunday night. Because here's the thing, and once again, neither one of us love complaining about art. I understand art is difficult and putting it out there. But Sunday nights right now, I have the 1-2 punch of Succession and Barry. And I just, by the end of that hour and a half, I'm like, so just everyone's a piece of shit? Cool.
Yeah.
And so I guess, I don't know if it started with Seinfeld, and not to criticize, I was never a big Seinfeld person, though I do find it funny when I watch it, but I think we got this thing of like, oh, it's fun to tell like complex stories about people who aren't perfect. And I'm like, yeah, that's one thing. This is another thing. When just like everyone is awful, it's just so hard to watch for that length of time.
I can't do it. It really like affects me mentally. Honestly.
Yeah, it was really upsetting. By the end of that hour and a half, I was in such a horrible mood and felt so just like down about everything that I had to watch. Thank goodness Sundays also have somebody somewhere. I was like, all right, a half an hour salve of just like make me believe in people again.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
I always thought that Barry was going to be positive at some point. I kind of like, I watched a couple seasons and I was like, yeah, I don't think I can keep going with this. Really bumming me out, man.
What's nuts is that like I was pretty into the first season, and then I will say the first season ends with a certain act of which I said, well, I don't think I can watch this show anymore. I think I'm done. And then by the time, so I didn't watch season two. And then when season three came out, someone was like, no, it's worth it. Like, trust me, blah, blah, blah. You should. So I watched two and three kind of in a row and was kind of like, meh, like,
yeah, I don't trust you anymore.
I don't. And like, I really don't, to be honest with you. And then like in this season, we're just like, everything is kind. And if you are someone who can find this kind of situational stuff funny, I'm not saying you're bad or good. Like, it's just not my humor. Like, I just don't think it's funny. Like, I just can't laugh at this kind of stuff. So that's all. It's fine. I didn't give you a topic, but mostly what I was thinking about, and if you don't have anything, it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, going to Brandy's tonight, it made me think about going there in the midst of the pandemic. And, you know, I was thinking about, I don't want to look back at a time that I know was terrible for so many people and be like, wasn't it fun? Because I understand that like there was also things were fraud. And like, listen, I was working at a restaurant through most of it. Like, I understand the stress
getting
that
hit
was there.
By bikes.
Sure, getting hit by bikes and whatnot. But, you know, I think about the moments that we found joy in the midst of it. And I was thinking about going to Brandy's, and it was in the moment where you couldn't go inside except for like to like go in and use the restroom, but they had us like we were like out on the streets, and like they had little tables, and at the time you had to be serving food, so they had like little things of like hummus and guacamole, and I don't know, I think about those moments in the midst of it, and it was fun, like being around people, and yeah. Even they like they brought all the microphones and things outside, and they had to be shut down by 10 o'clock because of noise and all of that, but there were those moments in the midst of it that I look back on and I have such fond memories, like going to the park and seeing friends for the first time and kind of like, you know, spreading out and not, you know, trying to be as careful as possible. I don't know. Do you think about any moments? Are there any moments in the pandemic that you think about that you actually have any fondness for?
Oh, for sure. I really got to know our neighbors really, really well. Like they're close friends now. In fact, I miss that we haven't seen them in a little while, but we lived in a duplex, and then there was a duplex right across the like little pathway when you open the door. So there's four little households, and you know, we'd just go outside, and you know, two of the people, one of them was a hospice nurse and one of them is a, you know, pediatric doctor, so it was a little bit scary because they were also, you know, going to work and really struggling, but it was fun to just be in our backyards and as distant as we could, and you know, my kids were so little that they wouldn't, like, I could just shut the door and be in the backyard and we'd have a bonfire. And so I really find those moments special. I also, you know, what got me through is doing Rom Crime and doing our podcast. It's like just having those moments of connection with someone that you love, yeah. You know, and that was great. And then honestly, the other thing is Adam, for my birthday, got me like some pretty dope karaoke equipment, and we would sing karaoke every single day with the kids. And that was like, I just realized, oh, singing brings me, I feel like if you want to believe, however you want to believe in God, I feel like God lives in the singing connection, love. It's so good. And and we would dance and it was great. That would be off the top of my head. And I also got to watch my kid, yeah. My son, go from completely nonverbal 1-year-old to talking. I mean, you never get,
yeah.
If you're a working parent, you never get that time watching it, one human being develop. And it was motherfucking wild, man. It was crazy. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Even though he drives me crazy now.
But. Yeah, just something I was sort of thinking about. I love that. I love looking back at moments that in the darkness that, you know, were, yeah, moments of light. I will say the random thing that I have is just because I stayed up so late last night, and it was partly because I was watching, you know, certain shows, and then I just, oh, and then I stumbled across that documentary that I was talking about, and then I don't even know how this happened, but like, I know how it happened. It's because I do this thing where I'm like, let's watch Mary Louise Parker accept her Tony Award in 2002, like just for no reason whatsoever.
You go down a rabbit hole of YouTube.
100%, except for then, guess what, like the very next thing that popped up was, and this is what, and I don't know if it's going to stick around, and you can see the entire, I haven't gotten through the whole thing because it's in three parts, but my understanding is you can literally watch the entire original Broadway cast of Ragtime on YouTube right now.
What?
Yeah, it's like a person with a camera in the audience, which first of all, I find on one hand so offensive. Like, I can't believe this person did that. That said, I'm so grateful that this video exists.
Oh,
and we'll see,
God,
if it sticks around. But I stayed up for like an hour watching like almost the entire first act of, but it's like Marin Mazie and Brian Stokes Mitchell and Audra McDonald. Like, it's all these like crazy,
wow. Send me the link,
amazing,
Mike.
Talented.
I want to see it.
I will. And it's like, it's pretty well done. Like, it looks, for a camcording recording, like, it looks pretty good. And like the sound.
Oh,
so
God.
Anyways, yeah, I'll find it and send it along. But that's my random thing. Rush while you can see it.
I have a random thing.
Yeah, what's up? Oh, you didn't just write random this week?
No, I didn't just write random. I actually do. It seems so random and kind of like, I'm judging you, Time Out New York, but did you know that they do every April or whatever, before the actual Tonys come out, they, like, it was this Friday, this last Friday on 28th, they wrote, "Today we are proud to present the annual Tony nominations, which recognize the best Broadway achievements of 2023. To be clear as we possibly can, Tony is an acronym for Time Out New York, and the list below represents the Broadway shows and artists that we at Tony Time Out New York would nominate for the actual Tony Awards." AKA the Antoinette Perry Awards. Did you know that? Anyways, I thought, like, come on, Time Out New York, you little shits.
You know what's really funny? I specifically did not click on that link. I was like, this is fucking with me. I know that they're not out yet. I'm not going to click on this. That's exactly. So I'm glad you told me what it was because I didn't look at it.
I clicked on it because I thought it was because I don't know when they come out. I'm not hip with the times. So I was like, oh, and then I was like, wait a minute. There you go.
That's very funny. That's very well, now that I know what it is, maybe I'll check it out just to see what they wrote. Because there's some weird. I mean, there always is. I get that it's an award ceremony and like it's, but like there are some weird omissions in the list today, which we'll talk about separately because, you know. But anyways, yeah, funny. I'll check that out. I'll have to see how theirs compare to the actual Tony nominations. All right. Well, I gotta go because I got things that I gotta do. But okay. I'm so glad we had this time.
Me too.
And I love
you to
pieces.
I love you to pieces.
And and I'll have more to talk about next week because I'm seeing Doll's House tomorrow. So we'll see. And she got a nomination. So I'm very
excited
to see that. Yay. All right. So I'll talk to you next week. And I love you.
Bye, guys.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores and email us at Mike and Vanya Can't Not at Gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows, but you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week.
Sounds thicky, thicky. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm sorry, Mike.
That's okay.
Oh,
you're doing just fine.